everyone. Welcome into the Objectively Good Takes podcast. I'm Dan, and I'm with Hippo. We're going to begin today by looking at some of the future odds, and then we're going to talk about our divisional winners and picks across the entire 18-week season. We're going to start right at the top with MVP discussion. Hippo, is there anyone that really stands out to you? I think we're on the same page, to be quite honest. I think we're going to have the same pick. But yeah, we
probably will. We're starting off with MVP. That's the creme de la creme, Dan. That's this numero uno. My MVP is your MVP, and it's Joe Burrow. Jamar Chase playing hooky doesn't make that very secure, but we'll see how it goes. A little bit of value, especially if he comes back. Gives great O-line. Offense is staying the same, even though the coordinator skipped town. Got the dual running backs in there. None of them's a star, so I won't take too much away from him. You got T trying to fight for a new contract. I love him this year. Jamar's a superstar. Jermaine Burton's really good. Got Yossi Voss in the slot. Gesicki, they drafted Eric Alt Jr., Tanner McClanahan. They just are completely loaded on offense. And I just think they're ready to roll because that offensive line is finally up to snuff and they're going to protect him. And he's just going to be able to pick apart some really crappy teams. And then he's also in that division where he's going to have a lot of good close games that will get the nation's attention. You have the same sentiments, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yours is a much more detailed thought, but I agree with your sentiment. We're on the same page. And I also have the feeling, the ethos, it's ready for Burrow to take an MVP. We felt him get closer and closer every year, and unfortunate with the injury last year. But I think this is the time he's going to do it. Everything's set up and slated for him. I'm interested in what the offensive scheme in kind of the ripples with it, but I'm hoping that everything takes a big step forward.
Yeah. And then the defense also isn't one of those elite defenses, so he's going to have to put up points, especially their secondary. So I can see them getting into a few shootouts, boost his stats up a little bit more. And I feel at the end of the day, they're going to be one of the top teams in the conference. That's a big part of being MVP. What about for some values, Dan? Scrolling down here, last year's MVP, Lamar is at plus 2,000. So that's crazy value for MVP. I know it's probably hard for him to get back-to-back, and his third. The voters might not go that way, especially after how he ended last season, but do you see anybody?
Yeah, I think there's two that stand out here to me, and it's really, if you want to hitch your wagon to teams that are potentially really good offenses, or at least one of them is something that will become a good offense, we project, and the other one is already an established offense, I would look at Tua, and I would look at Kyler. Both of them are a little bit further down, but both of them have like real opportunity to be the MVP coming out of this season. And there's a lot of hype on both those squads for that.
The thing with Tua is if he has a stellar season, are they going to credit that more to Tyreek? I feel like Tyreek might hurt his chances because he's going to probably put up ungodly numbers. And then it also depends how much the running game does.
You're right. Is he the linchpin for that offense, or does he have all the weapons around him who are actually the things that are effective? And I think that's the argument that's been made with him continuously throughout his career up to this point. Why people were like, we don't need to pay him. We could replace him. He's not that great. But the throws that he makes, I know Tyreek is out there doing inhuman things, but the throws that he makes are just
great accuracy on everything. Tua has great accuracy. He's underrated. He's definitely underrated in the league. I like the Kyler call, plus 5,000. Why not? Even Caleb Williams at plus 4,500. If things get cooking there and the Bears are even pushed for the division or something, I can definitely see some buzz going around his way. But even closer at the top, if it's not Burrow and there's this other guy in the AFC, not Mahomes, even though very well could be Mahomes, who is the leader, and we probably should throw some love his way. I feel like Allen has that narrative where he lost all his playmakers, his defense is probably not going to be as elite, and if Buffalo is anything, it's going to be because of Josh Allen and Josh Allen alone this year, and a lot of people are starting to discount him. I just have a feeling if they win 11, 12 games when that division are in like the second, third seed, he might get some love too, especially because he does a lot rushing. So Burrow, Allen, plus 900, plus 950, respectively. We like seeing that in the betting community, but I go to you, Dan.
No, I agree with that. And also, if we're thinking of like playing the narrative street, it's the exact same thing that we talked about with Mahomes last year. Literally the exact same thought process of he has no weapons. He's going to take a step back. That defense isn't as polished. Like they just are starting the rookie on the outside. There's so many things that were like, we really aren't sure. And then they cruise right into a Super Bowl win. And we're like, yeah, of course. Why did we doubt that in the first place? So yep. If this narrative is going to play and we're going to hit the same thing again, then Allen being as the MVP pick doesn't seem like a bad idea at all.
Yeah, right. You want to go on to the next one?
Yeah, let's go to the next one. We could talk about them later. All right, so offensive rookie of the year. And I think both of us, my take here, I can't not bet on Caleb Williams being the offensive rookie of the year. But you have a good amount of love for Jaden Daniels here. So if you want to talk him up a little bit, I'm totally all ears.
I do love Jaden. The thing with Jaden is he's with Cliff, who has experience with Kyler, with somebody of his elk, not the same exact type of player, but comparable in some matters. So he has experience with him. I feel like the Commanders are ready to take that next step. I don't know if they're going to be competing for the playoffs, but hear me out. The Cowboys are in disarray right now. And we all have this thing where we love the Eagles and everything is, they're a dream team. The last time we heard dream team out of Philadelphia, everything fell apart. And also the last time we saw Philadelphia, the head coach was irritating the hell out of everybody. So just run through the process. If bringing in two new coordinators like you did last year doesn't work and the roster still hates him and the sociology and the psychology of the team are just in disarray and it's something irreparable after they have a bad loss in, let's say, Brazil to start the year, could he lose the locker room right off the bat? That's in the realm of possibilities. I don't know if it's going to happen. There's just a lot of talent on that Eagles team not to get behind them. But say those two things do happen, you got Dan Quinn leading a good offense, and they brought in Bobby Wagner, and you got Jaden Daniels, who just won the Heisman, and he's not afraid to win ball games with his arms, with his legs. So him and Caleb are both in that situation where they can bring their new team to the playoffs, which – and this offensive rookie of the year is enough to push them over the edge to just win the award. So plus 500, might as well sprinkle something on there if you like Jaden.
No, I think that's a good take. I think that's on the money. And a good argument for Washington in its entirety is that it's actually a viable team. And we're probably, most of the industry is more than likely sleeping on Washington being at least decent or viable. I'm not sure what the transition is. It's going to be such night and day. We're going from Sam Howell and a completely and like Rivera into a completely different system and different process, a different owner, all that sort of stuff. So there's going to be a lot of moving parts.
Exactly. And they bring in Dan Quinn, just a new leader. They bring him. I feel like people are sleeping on the defense. You bring Bobby Wagner, leader there. You on the offensive side, you bring in Tyler Biotish, center for the offensive line. You bring in Eckler for the running back and skill positions. Terry McLaurin's been on. He's seen the darkest of times. And it's, I feel like there's a lot of unsung heroes that they have brought in, which are like sneaky good moves that nobody's really speaking about. And then you bring in a superstar talent. And the same thing's happened in Chicago, where I think both franchises are definitely stepping in the right position. I've liked what they've done. But do you see anybody else stand down here that, I mean, there are a few good dark throws down here.
There's, I
mean, you're getting the crazy odds once you go down here a few rows.
There are some real insane ones. I can't believe Polk is that high. That is because of the fantasy community. There's no reason for Polk to be.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
See, the no thing way. I have, the name I see when I go down here is Penix at plus 10,000 because of Kirk Cousins doesn't recover from his torn Achilles, which everybody's like, oh, that's something that people, it's like a sprained ankle now to people. That is a devastating injury. If he doesn't get back right away and Penix does have to play this year and he takes over, because that's another team, Atlanta, that missed the playoffs last year, that he could easily find his way into that offense and make it pop and click and make them a playoff team, essentially, because he's dynamic just like the other two guys. And at plus 10,000, you just have to put a couple bills down there to see a healthy return.
The other one that I think is probably not getting discussed enough about is Spencer Rattler. I don't think
Rattler. Oh, yeah. No.
I think the Saints are that bad. And you know,
yeah,
I think
you the hate Saints the Saints.
I hate the Saints so much. I hate Derek Carr. I think what happens is Derek Carr is on the shores of leash because Dennis Allen is on the shores of leash. So we get to a point where, like, he gets replaced, like Derek Carr gets replaced within the first 3 or 4 games of the season. This is hottest of take. And then Rattler has to step in. And we have 14 or 13 games of Rattler. And I think he could actually be heroically better. This is, he's priced appropriately. 15,000 is, yes, it won't hit, basically.
Yeah, no. If you do you think if he comes in, the Saints can win some games? Though that's the thing, he has to make them win some games.
Yeah, I think he does, because I think one of them, Derek Carr is a check down artist. He's been like that for his entire career, and I don't think that's how you win games. I just don't think you can't make the throws. You can't do the extra oomph. I don't think he's going to get there. And I didn't think Derek Carr was great in the Raiders. I didn't think he's been good in the Saints at all the last couple of years. I think when Andy Dalton was playing for the Saints, he did a better job, to be quite honest. And that's not high praise. So I
know. No. Derek Carr is like the quintessential mediocrity of quarterback. He can quarterback, but he's just not going to bring you anything special. I don't think he's god-awful. I just don't think he's anything. He's not good. He's mediocre. I'll just put it as that.
Right.
I don't want to talk poorly about anybody here.
That's fair, and I appreciate that. I'll share that sentiment. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks on the planet, right? There's 50 QBs that probably fill that bill. You can arrange them however you want, and I'm going to arrange them closer to the bottom rather than closer to the top. That's all that means.
Yeah, Derek Carr is, if anything, he's a tough son of a gun. Just the coaching is very poor. Dennis Allen is a poor coach. I'll put it as that.
Yes. All right, so let's move on to our defensive rookie of the year. And I don't have...
Who are you locking in, though, for your offensive? Are you locking in
Caleb?
You're locking in Caleb? Caleb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, I'll probably lock in Caleb too, honestly. And like, more things have to happen for Jaden to get it, which is probably why the odds are the way they are. Caleb is just, I think he's in the best situation a rookie's ever been in, so I'll go with Caleb. That also might help hurt his odds, but screw it, I'll go with him.
Yeah, the only thing I have about Caleb is that offensive line is like unproven and like stealth, like scary. That's the only thing that gives me pause within this scenario. And I'm not like the biggest fan of Eberflus in the world. I don't think he's that great of a coach, but then again, he did turn it around per se, but through a defensive style. Not the point.
Yeah, he's all a defensive guy. I will just add, Caleb is somewhat used to that with USC's line last year. It was let up one of the, I forget the percentage exactly, but their pressure rate was pretty high. Caleb's just really good in the pocket with his pocket present. He's pretty elusive in that fact. I don't want to compare him to like Brady-esque in the pocket because that's high praise for a young guy like that. But he is very good at avoiding pressure and rolling out and still keeping his eyes down. He's just a really good quarterback. So he would be able to get over that. I wouldn't be too scared about that. But I'll assuage your worries in that manner.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And like he proved that with that throw to Rome down the sideline.
He loves playing backyard football. He's crazy.
He's there. All right. Defensive rookie of the year.
E-point.
Now that we're on here. That's interesting. I don't have a good opinion on this.
Do you want me to take over?
Yeah, go right ahead. Take this one.
The Junior Colson, that's probably a little bit of a stab in the dark, plus 3,500. Okay, he was Michigan's middle linebacker last year with Harbaugh. He led that defense to a national title. And now he goes to the Chargers with Harbaugh again and going to start at middle linebacker for them. He's probably going to play every game, being on every tackle. Going to have to really step up to be a leader on that defense right away because they're going to need him. That defense is something that has been struggling for the Chargers the last few years. And ultimately got Brandon Staley fired because he was supposed to be a defensive guy and he just wasn't. So Junior Colson, I love that value at plus 3,500 just looking at this the first time. But another guy that I would look at, Byron Murphy pairing up with McDonald and a Seahawks defense I know you like. I don't know if you want to take over with that. Love the Seahawks defense you have, Dan.
Yeah, I have an affinity for the Seahawks defense this year. Yeah, if I had to if I had to pick anyone on this list, it would probably be him. But I want to hear about the other players. Yeah, no, I think Mike. I think McDonald going in and actually doing a redefinition and all the narrative coming out of the defensive players are they love it just because the ease of the calls and like how coverages are working. It's really syncing with the system, and I think a lot of the pieces on that defense between the DBs and some of the additions as well, especially there's a front four. They had a couple of additions on that.
They brought in Leonard Williams last year.
Yeah.
That's the big other piece. I mean, that's huge going with Byron Murphy bookending their ends with two studs. So,
right. So I think
their secondary is what I love about them too.
I think the Seahawks are going to be a great defense this year.
I'm with you, Dan. So yeah, my stat would be Junior Colson. Just take that stat plus 3,500. Rookie of the year is really taking a stab in the dark.
Let's just move on here for offensive player of the year. Ooh. Now, this is our consolation prize for not winning MVP.
This is the running back award or the wide receiver award from now, because MVP has to be a quarterback, we know.
Right. It's just how it goes. We get it. Is there anyone that stands out to you for this? I know the air is out of the room, and we talked about this before with the Bengals, and Chase probably would have been my pick for this off the bat, because in the same way that I think Burrow is poised for it, I think Chase is also poised for it. I feel like there's like that behind the scenes is going to happen, but now that he's may not be paid, I'm less sure of that.
Yeah, I wish I looked at his odds before to see how much they've gone up since he started throwing his little hissy fits. Just looking at it, you have to look at Bijan and Breece, two guys that are projected to just break out this year, and they're valued like that. Tyreek and CMC having repeat years at the age they are, it's just probability-wise, I wouldn't bank on it. I would even group CD in there, and then Jefferson doesn't have a quarterback, and then Chase, you have his problems there. That brings us down to Bijan and Breece. And then you even got Saquon there. The Eagles are a little bit different because they have so many playmakers. AJ and Devonta, they're probably going to get fed a good amount too. And then Hurts, they say he's going to take away the goal line touchdowns, which he'll get his fair share. But Saquon will probably lose just enough not to be on Bijan and Breece's level. So it comes down to which offense do you think is going to be firing enough to give that guy the edge? I don't know, Dan. What do you think?
I think if Rodgers stays healthy, it's Breece. Yeah. Mm. If he doesn't, then it's Bijan out of those two. But I think the silent killer, the one individual that has not been talked about.
Yeah, I have one more name too. I think we might. I don't know. You go ahead first.
Mine is JT. Just no one has talked about JT at all this offseason. He's
mine's
just
a little bit south.
Oh, I'm excited. But if Shane Steichen, Richardson, and that whole connection actually makes sense and goes through the entire season and we get something that we saw for that limited capacity and JT is like the funnel that all this fits into, I think that he's scary. What's yours?
I think JT is he's a good running back, borderline great running back. I definitely will give him that. I don't think his quarterback's good, though. I don't think his quarterback can throw. I don't think the offensive line is quite as strong as Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm looking at Gibby there.
Ooh, I love it.
I think the Lions have the best offensive line. He's getting discounted now because of the hammy. He's getting time to recover. Even last year, though, look at it. He didn't start the year off in a starting capacity. It was really limited. They really brought him along slow. He missed, I feel like, that first 3-4 weeks, he wasn't utilized as much as he was down the year, and he still finished the year with 1,500 yards, I want to say. This year, more trust, more goal line work. The Lions should be a really good offense, top-tier offense, I would say, with that offensive line, more trusted work. And honestly, if Amon-Ra gets taken away, he might be the second-best receiver. They might use him out wide, especially if Jameson Williams doesn't come along and whatever happens with Laporta. But yeah, Gibbs it. Plus 2,800 is...
The crazy thing is, they're both plus 2,800. So we basically settled on either Breece Hall or Bijan, and then later on JT or Gibbs. And at the equivalent values on both of them, which is pretty funny.
Yeah,
I guess Breece is a little bit higher, but that's not that big of a deal.
AJ Brown, too, I would even look at. Who else are you going to say?
No, I would just take you at a bet. I would just take one-on-one Gibbs versus JT for the season. I would say total yardage if you'll take that bet. We'll do a gentleman bet.
Total yards combined?
Yeah, combined
absolutely.
Yards.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll do Gibby. Okay, see, the only problem I have with Taylor is I feel like everything on Gibbs's team is better. O-line's better. Quarterback's better. Team just is better. And Gibbs is more projecting upwards, where I think we've seen Taylor's career year. I don't think we've seen Gibbs's career year yet. And he's getting discounted with the hammy injury, which I don't think is going to be a factor. And even if it's him being a little weak week one, I'll take Gibby.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great player.
I agree. Both great players. Yeah, indeed. Yes, they're both awesome. All right, moving on to our defensive player of the year. And I mentioned to you already what mine is, so I'll let you start off here. Who's your defensive player of the year pick? I don't know if you saw this yet.
First time looking at the list, but it's first time looking at all these lists, and I can pick them out. I have these eyes. I love a second-year guy taking that second-year leap with a defensive coach, and his name is Willie Anderson. Getting paired with Danielle Hunter, plus 3,000. That is yummy money from a guy who can do it all. He can go back in coverage. He can go after the quarterback. They picked him right after Stroud. People forget that they traded up to get him. They really wanted him. And the reason why they were so good last year wasn't just Stroud being a difference maker on offense. It was Will Anderson being a difference maker on defense. He is a young stud on the up and up. The other guys at the top, those top four, top five. Oh, boy. Yeah, those top five. Just, they're stalwarts. But I look at Will Anderson, he changed Alabama's defense. He changed up the Texans' defense last year. He has another end on the other side. D'Amico Ryans loves him. He loves his defense. Give me some Willie Anderson.
Love it. I love that pick. Yeah, no, that seems like it totally makes sense. I think it's the same thought process of him and AD, or Aiden Hutchinson. Like, I'm just thinking of them in the same vein of they are stars already. They've become stars.
Yeah, so quickly, yeah. They made the leap really seamless transition, as they would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
More name before you get to yours, Dan, but Sauce Gardner, plus 6,000. That is ludicrous. You bring in That's somebody crazy. Who can actually play some offense with Aaron Rodgers, and hopefully Rodgers can play this whole season here. But that offense is going to be producing points, which means teams are going to actually have to be throwing on the Jets this year and going towards their best receiver and crunch time. I think Sauce at plus 6,000, he could easily lead the league in interceptions. I mean, he's been an all-pro his first 2 years. It's just unheard of production. I love seeing Sauce, arguably the best corner, at plus 6,000. So that is crazy. I didn't see that.
That is nuts that he's priced that low. That is absolutely insane. Yeah. So unfortunately, my pick is Max Crosby, and I don't think the Raiders are going to get that kind of publicity. But I just think, especially because you said earlier, he plays every single snap. I think he's missed like three snaps ever. And he's a remarkable defensive player, and he makes an entire defense has to pay attention to him every play.
Absolutely.
And he
relentless. Absolutely relentless that man is.
Yeah, and I think him and Myles Garrett are like, they're one and the same in my head. Like, they both play the positions that, like, require the most attention. Like, I would put Aaron Donald in that same thought process when he was still around. Like, that idea. You have to pay attention to this guy. You have to double or
triple team this man.
Exactly. But, yeah, I actually love that Sauce Gardner. So, for the coach of the year, my big thing with the coach of the year is I hate that it's the coach of the year. If anything, it should be like the team of the year, like something like that, where you get everyone involved, because it's not just one person. Like, you have an entire team that leads, and putting it all on one guy like this is just, I think it's asinine.
But, Coach Dan, they get fired.
Yeah, okay, how about this for fun? Who's your first coach to be fired of the year? Mine. I already know.
Let me look all the way bottom at these odds to get that answer. Oh, first coach to get fired. Put me on the spot here, Dan. I don't know. Okay, I don't want to say Daboll. Go ahead. I'll look at my list.
Oh, you got to know Dennis Allen. I think Dennis Allen's going to be the first coach that's going to get fired. I think he's going to get axed. He's gonna, like, within 6 weeks of the season, they're going to be like, you know what? This isn't going well. And then they're going to give Kendra Miller the ball 300 times, and they're going to be like, oh, we probably should have just trusted the players.
Oh, Kendre Miller.
I'm just playing.
Him on your IRs, everybody.
I'm just playing. But still, I do not think Dennis Allen is a good coach. I don't think any of his choices up to this point have said he's been a good coach at all. That's my pick. I think Daboll, it's been in unfortunate circumstances, and I think that...
I think Daboll is actually a good coach. I just think in a terrible situation, he got screwed over for what he's dealing with. Dennis Allen is such a... He's just the target on his back. You know what? I might go... I'm going to go out of left field here and say it's between Nick Sirianni and Robert Saleh. Whatever team of those that don't... If any of those teams falter, I feel like they're on a short lease right now.
Oh, my God.
I'll ride with Sirianni, but...
You think by, like, week 6, the drumbeat is going to be too loud, and by, let's say, week 10... One of these coaches is going to be fired. One of them two. That's the thought process here.
Yeah, I'm just looking. I'm trying to look at like the crappy teams to be nicely, and just I don't think any of the crappy teams are gonna fire their coach except Dennis Allen, maybe Todd Bowles, but I don't think the Bucks are gonna be terrible like that. No. I can see the Eagles or the Jets coming out to a 3-3, 2-4 start. Especially the Eagles, how they ended last year, even the Jets. And with all that promise, all that hype, preseason hype, just those GMs being like, you know what? We have somebody else in the wings, blah, blah. Especially in Philadelphia, you got Vic Fangio, head coach experience. You got Kellen Moore, who was boy chin wonder at OC, who could easily step into the job. I could see Sirianni getting fired if the Eagles falter out of the gates here.
Boy chin wonder. That's amazing. I'm writing that down. Boy chin wonder. All right, Kellen Moore, boy chin wonder.
Who do you think's gonna win the deep boy though? I don't want to be on the negative. I don't want to
take
a man's job away from him. Sorry, Sirianni.
I have two.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is spicy. The other one
is spicy. What's your spicy first?
Antonio Pierce, I think, is going to be the coach of the year. I think that's the spicy one.
His players love him. They love playing for him.
Right. The entire locker room's on his side. They're all excited. I think we share a sentiment, and I know we've gone back and forth, and when I picked all the games, the fact that the Raiders could be actually good, not mediocre, not bad, but actually good. Good.
Push for a wild card, yeah.
Is something that completely, it made sense with my picks. It made more sense to me. And I was like, oh, this, on paper, this is actually something that is not talked about and also makes complete sense. Like, why not? Why can't this happen? And if that happens, if they push for a wild card spot, and with the narrative being that I don't think the Raiders are going to be good, if that's everyone's what, you know, that's what they think, I think that could be a real deal. I think Antonio Pierce can win that award. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. No, I'm with you there. I'm with he's going to play great defense, and they're going to run the football. And then Minshew showed last year with Indianapolis. They're right on the cusp of winning the division, getting in over those Texans. If Tyler Goodson just catches a ball in the flat, they have Zamir White and Alexander Mattison. One of those two guys will catch a ball in the flat.
Yep.
Yeah, at the end of my wild cards, I have the Dolphins, the Brownies. I could see either of those teams faltering and the Raiders just sneaking in just because they have your depoy and they have a great head coach, which also transitions funny into my depoy, which also goes with my defensive player of the year, D'Amico Ryans.
Yep.
Was that your non-spicy one?
That was my non-spicy one. Yep. That's my shoe-in non-spicy.
Yeah, plus 1,400. I think everybody loves the Texans right about now, and it's on paper. They just look phenomenal. Yeah, he just has that defense firing all cylinders. They have Derek Stingley going to come into his own. I think Will Anderson has a great shot at DPOY. And then you got Stroud, so they have a great chance of having the best record in the football league outside the Chiefs, but they're not going to give it to Andy Reid, so... D'Amico is my choice there.
Yep, I'm in for it. We're in agreement on what could be. Other crazy ones that I would consider is probably Dan Campbell, to be quite honest. I saw a tweet that was like Jared Goff's, the whole thing where Jared Goff can only throw balls in a dome, right? He has only dome games other than three games this entire year. everything else is in a dome. So it's theoretically that Jared Goff is going to have a good performance, but that's a hilarious aside. I think it's also because, like, I like Dan Campbell a lot. I think he's just a good locker room dude. Same thing with Antonio Pierce. I think they're like former players who are really good leaders of men. And so those are the people that I like to be like, yeah, that's the guy I want to lead. Yeah.
Also, if you look at both those staffs, the Lions and the Raiders, great comparison, bringing the two together. If you look at their two staffs, most of the coaches, assistant coaches for both of those teams are former players that played in the league while they were in the league. It's just a football environment for both those teams.
And I think that is how you print money there, is you bring people who've actually done the job to tell to coach other people to do the job.
From your guys there.
I don't understand why that isn't just comeback player of the year. All right, so if
it's gonna be one of the Achilles.
Yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers. I don't know.
I didn't see Nick Chubb that high up there.
Chubb,
I can just see being Adrian Peterson and coming back a year after because he's that same type of mentality and dog. Plus 1,200. Good enough money, but I feel like Cousins or Rodgers has to be the shoe in here. Because they're actually going to play a full season, hopefully. If it's not one of the Achilles guys, it's one of the running backs coming from a devastating injury and they actually put it together.
Yeah.
And
I think the Nick Chubb injury was like the most publicized. Like Jake, not a lot of people even realized that JK went down like week one. So Nick Chubb, that was a big game. The knee injury was devastating. That was crazy.
Yeah,
it was
prime time. Yeah. Prime football.
Yeah.
And he's a superstar, or Dobbins is like a college star who never really established himself. Right. But if Dobbins, if he had I don't even know. There's a lot of hope with Dobbins. I just feel bad for Dobbins, honestly. So it's one more of those, like, I hope he puts it back together. But Chubb, I can just see him actually just being a menace when he first gets onto the field. But if I had to put my hard-earned money on somebody, it's Aaron Rodgers. I'm going with Rod.
Yeah.
I mean, Rodgers.
That's the shoe-in.
That's my only favorite I'm taking.
Good. That's free money. All right. So now that we've done all of our award calls, I think we should do our division winners. And if you have that ready available, I can pull mine up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to just share my screen so you see mine and what my calls are. But we can just go right down the list and start in the AFC. So let's start with this grouping right here. So KC, Chargers, Denver.
I didn't have it scrolled over all the way. I'm still. Okay. I see what you're talking about. You want to do AFC West first?
Yeah.
We both have Kansas City, so that's easy enough.
Yep. That was an easy one. What do you have as their win total? What you got?
I didn't do win total.
That's fine.
I see yours is 13. I could see them 12. I have the Chargers being a little bit better than you do. I think Harbaugh wins. He doesn't take losing well. I can see them being close to 500 this year. I don't know if they have the complete pieces to be a playoff team this year. I think it's going to take one more offseason for them, but I see them right by 500. Yeah, I just have the Chiefs are just, they're going to coast somewhat, but they're going to be near the 1 or 2 seed like last year, 12, 13 wins. Yeah, it's Kansas City. You don't go against Mahomes.
Okay, that's fine. Let's move right down the list. The next grouping, I think we're in agreement. We have the Jets winning the AFC East.
Yep, I have the Jets too. You have a 7-10 team. You have Aaron Rodgers this year, finally. Zach Wilson and dog shit got you 7 wins. Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer. He will get you over double-digit wins, which is above what I think Buffalo and Miami will get you. And then they all have the Pats to beat up on. Yeah, I just think it's the Jets from top to bottom. I think they're the most complete team, offensive, defense. It's just, I feel like it's their year, which means that the Jets are going to have something cruel happen to them. But I'm behind you right now, New York.
We felt this way last year, so it's okay that we're just gonna run it back and hope it happens. And yeah, I have the Jets being there as well, same sentiment. All right, and then we have our South. So I got the Texans at 12 wins. I think they're gonna take the division.
Yeah, I'm the Texans too. I'm in the Texans too. The only difference we have here is I like the Jacksonville a little bit more than you like Jacksonville.
Wins.
I know. I like them a little bit. I have them at 11 wins. I like.
Oh,
them.
Okay. All right. All right.
See, I'm just not. I don't like Indianapolis and I don't like Tennessee. If the Jags weren't in the same division as the Texans, I would probably have them as a division winner, but they are. So this is what they're dealt. I really like what Jacksonville has done in the offseason. They brought in Ryan Nielsen. Their DC is going to totally revamp that defense, which kind of killed them last year. And they start off 9-3, and then they ended the year 9-7, missed the playoffs with that three-way tie. They completely choked down the stretch. So they bring in Brian Thomas Jr. on the offensive side. They get rid of Calvin Ridley. There's probably something behind the scenes there that we aren't totally aware of. So you have another weapon for Lawrence. You bring an offensive line help for him. You bring in Mitch Morse on as your center. The tackles are another year in development. And then on the defensive side, you have Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker. Good bookend. You bring in the defensive coordinator who is going to come out. He's aggressive. He likes to blitz on you. So they have that. I like both the Jags and the Texans to come out of this. But as I said before, the Texans are just loaded on the both sides of the ball. I think they can push for the conference.
Yeah, no, their Texans are just straight scary. Like, they have Anderson and then, like, Stingley. Like, did anyone remember that Stingley is a thing? That's
He was the third pick overall once upon a time.
That's so crazy. That team is really disgusting. Plus every offensive weapon that they've added and building around that QB contract, the rookie QB contract, and doing a really good job about it. So I can't say anything that the Texans aren't going to win. Yeah. All right. And the last one for the AFC, I think, everyone, listening and us in our entirety have just been like complete Bengal homers at this point. So no one's going to be surprised that we have the Bengals winning. I have the Bengals winning the division.
Got the Bengalis.
And I think it's probably going to be pre-handed. It's the same clear notion as the Texans. They don't have as much on the defensive side as I would have hoped. But yeah, I'm not betting against Burrow. I just can't do it. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Nothing.
So for the wild card spots here, I know we differ on this one. So what are your wild card spots coming out of the AFC?
So I got my Jaggies. Jags are the number one wild card. They're my five. And then the last two could go in an array of different positions. I'm leaning on the Dolphins and the Brownies to go. And I'm leaning on the Dolphins for their offense and the Brownies for their defense. I mean, I wanted to put the Bills in just because I love Josh Allen and all that jazz, but I think the Dolphins are just a little bit better put together on both sides of the football, and they have the superstars on offense, especially if you get Achane staying healthy and taking that jump with McDaniel. It's very hard to cover Tyreek and Jalen Waddle when they're both firing, and then throwing the running backs. It's a little bit terrifying. And then for the Browns, it's what I was saying with the Jets. You have an elite defense, but you had the skeleton of Joe Flacco, who looked good but was putting up similar numbers to Deshaun Watson. He just wasn't a terrible person. So people wanted to give him the comeback player award over the guy who died on the field. But yeah, give me the Brownies. And they also have little secretive, really good moves this season, bringing in Jerry Jeudy, who's been over 750 yards, was a premier talent coming out first rounder. And he's only 24, 25 years old, and everybody's discounting him. If he plays second fiddle to Amari Cooper and Njoku, I feel like there's a fit for him in that offense where he can actually flourish, where he's not in Denver with Sean Payton stink. But you also have that's the one team we do agree on. So you have the Brownies. So
yep, I have the Browns. I think they'll get the they'll sneak in essentially. At least. I think that defense is still. There's nothing that tells me anything otherwise that they're either going to be top one or top two defensive units of the year. Yeah. And I think that in combination with an adequate offense should be enough to have them get a shoe in for a couple of games at least in the tiebreakers. So we differ on, I think the Bills are going to sneak in. And we talked about this earlier with the narrative of KC. Patrick Mahomes lost all his weapons. The defense is worse. And now he's going to take this huge step back and play with a chip on his shoulder. And he's not going to do as well. And he wins the Super Bowl. And I think
Yeah.
The Bills in with Josh Allen are going to be the exact same thing, if not more tables broken and more frenetic energy. Yeah. But I think
a lot of lives will be lost to the pit this year.
There's going to be some crazy streaks of games that the Bills are going to go on, and the fans are going to be absolutely livid. But yeah, I have the Bills going in. I have the Dolphins missing just because I think Josh Allen is one of those secret weapons that you pull it out and you win a game. And you're like, how did we win that? And you point to that guy. Yeah. And that's how they won the game.
Absolutely. No, because that's the debate, the Dolphins-Bills debate this year. And it's just... I wanted to ride with the Bills because the Bills are a more likable team. Everybody can agree on that. Josh Allen, everybody likes Allen, the Bills Mafia and all that. But they lose Matt Milano, and they lost a lot of secondary help. And it doesn't help that Jordan Poyer went to Miami. And I just feel like Miami's secondary to go with their passing attack, they're going to get ahead of guys with that offense, and then they're going to have the secondary to shore things up. And losing Milano is what kills me for Buffalo. That's a gut punch, and it sucks for them. And it's just, I feel for you, Buffalo. You guys are so close. It's just, you're kind of like the Bills and the Jets where you're cursed. And it's just, I feel for you guys.
Yeah, and I completely accept that narrative, and it could be completely right. And I don't know. So that, I'm just hitching my post to that guy.
It's the best thing about football. Crazy things happen. We get to witness it.
All the time. All right. And then... my spicy pick, and it goes with my head coach of the year that we just talked about, is I think the Raiders are going to sneak into the playoffs in a wild card spot. Not even like a bad wild card spot. I think I have them as the fifth seed, which is crazy.
That's a little spicy.
I know. I have them at 11 wins, which is astonishing. And if I'm right, then I'm going to go full time doing this. because this is a crazy take. But I do. Yeah. I think the more we talked about it and the more I thought about it, I think they're just going to win like reasonable games. I think they're going to be like the very reasonable team that just, yeah, we're going to score, let's say 24 points, but we're going to make you not score 24 points. We're going to make you score 20. Yeah. Like that's what they're going to do. And they're going to win games doing that and just pacing people out. And so I picked every game and I had them at the 11. So for my process, right, I'm going through and I pick every single game every week, and I just pick who's going to win. And then I don't even look at the total until the very end, and I just grab the total. So I had them at 11, and I don't know why, but I did. So that's what we're going with.
The data says the data doesn't lie. I don't hate the Raiders. They're, again, right on the edge for me as well. It was between them and the Brownies for me. I just gave it to the Browns because I thought they had a little bit more. They're a little bit better on defense, a little bit better on offense in my estimation, but I like the Raiders too. I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be shocked if they're the five seed pushing for like a division win, but I'm not shocked if they get in because they do have, they sneaky have offensive talent with Devontae Adams still there. Brock Bowers is a thing. Jacoby Myers isn't a slouch, and Trey Tucker's taking that next step. And yeah, they're just going to play really good defense, and they're going to run the ball with Zamir White. So no, I don't hate it. I don't hate it, Dan.
Cool. Great. I'll take that take. All right. So now we'll go into the NFC for the other side here.
I'll save the NFC West for the last. Can't do it.
Okay. All right. We'll leave that there.
So I just don't know. That's just a question mark. We can go. You can go ahead with the NFC West. It's a mystery box for me.
I know. And that's why my take is, again, crazy. And so you can see my win total there. I have the Seahawks.
It's a mystery box. Anything can happen, Dan.
Sure. So I'll skip that. We'll come back. All right, so we'll Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, and our Commanders. I have the Eagles winning the division with 13.
I'm in agreement with you. Cool. I can see things going wrong with Philadelphia, but on paper, they are the most talented team in the division, and honestly, most talented team in the conference. You might even be able to make a case for the whole entire league. They're really stacked on both sides of the football. They bring in both coordinators, as I said before, and it's just, yeah, they're scary good, just like they were 2 years ago. Even last year, they started off the year like 7-0, 9-0. Like, they were really good, and they choked like the Jaguars at the end of the year. We'll see what happens. Hopefully, some coaching changes. fix things up. I like Philadelphia. They're fun to watch.
So you have them winning, even though you think if we're picking someone that could be axed early, you think Sirianni could be that guy. All right. Absolutely. I appreciate that. So both sides of the coin here. Not
absolutely. If I had to pick a guy, which I wouldn't pick, but if I had to.
Yeah, then you would pick that. And yeah, but we're in agreement otherwise. I think the Eagles are just going to rouse that division right there. All right, moving on to the South. I don't know why this is the crazy take.
Damn. You have hatred in your heart for the Saints and the Panthers.
I picked all the games.
Who hurt you?
I picked all the games. All right, so for everyone who can't see the screen, I have Tampa Bay winning the division with 12, and then I have the Falcons at 9, and then the Panthers at 4 and the Saints at 2. Those are wins. I don't like the Saints. It's the take-home message here. I just really don't like the Saints. I don't know. I literally watched every game of the Saints, and I was like, every single time, I'm like,
it's boring football.
This is so boring. Is this an NFL game? This is not objectively good. This isn't good entertainment. It's not like fun or enjoyable to watch. I bet the players hate it too, having to do that every week. Probably. Yeah, they like see the other offenses and the other teams around the league being like these high powered, really fun and inventive concepts. And they're just like, yeah, all right, I guess we're going to go with no motion before the snap. And then we're going to just play cover 3. I guess that's just what we're going to do.
We're still running I formation down here in New Orleans. Didn't you hear we had a hurricane that knocked out the technology for a good decade?
Yeah. We're gonna do wing.
New Orleans, don't come after me. I think the Saints will win 7 games respectively.
All right, not that much more, but I'll take it. All right, 7
and
4.
I like the Saints somewhat in this comparison. I like this, but the Saints are not making the playoffs. Let me get that out of the way. The Falcons will be making the playoffs out of this division, in my humble opinion. Yeah, they just brought in way too much firepower on the defensive side, which is the only side of the ball which I would be worried about, and they have that to couple with Raheem Morris. And then on the offensive side of the ball, they drafted my favorite quarterback, Michael Penix. I don't think he's going to be the best. He's just my favorite. I watched him last year in college, and I bet and won a lot of money with him. So he has a special place in my heart. So if anything goes wrong with Kirk, he is there. And they have Bijan. They have offensive playmakers now in London and Pitts and Mooney. I think Pitts will actually have a nice rebound year as well. I just like the Falcons. I just feel like they're the most complete team that we see here. In regards to Dennis Allen being a terrible coach, I will say Todd Bowles is at the kids' table of head coaches with Dennis Allen, and they're not allowed to have birthday cake. So I will leave you with that. I don't think the Bucks will be as good. And I think Baker getting another offensive coordinator switch, which is something that hampered him all this year, is just give the guy the same offensive coordinator 2 years in a row. And yet again, he finally finds a spot that he is at home with, and they take the offensive coordinator away. I don't know how that affects him, and I don't like Rashad White. I like Bucky Irvin more. I would take him as a sleeper pick. Rashad White, you are inept at running the football. I am done. There you go.
Nice. All right.
Nothing, I don't want to talk ill about players.
No, I know. You don't have to. You don't have to talk ill about anyone, and we're just making picks here. Someone's got to win. Someone's got to lose. It's just how the game's played. Do you think with Canales, do you think the Panthers are going to actually take a larger step than I have them? I only have them at 4 wins.
Four wins, yes. I have them near the same. I feel like the Saints and them are both going to be at the bottom there, near 6-7 wins each. I don't know who's going to be above who, but I do feel like the Panthers will take that leap, and Bryce Young will actually look like a quarterback, and dare I say, the second best quarterback in this division. But I also race a lot at Alabama, so I might be a little bit biased, but yeah.
No, that's fine. I like that take. I think Bryce does take the step forward. I just don't think the team is quite there yet. And maybe it could be wrong, but I just don't think they're quite there.
One more thing for the Panthers. Adam Thielen's getting terribly underappreciated. He's the only returning guy for Bryce Young, who loved him last year, had over 1,000 yards with him. Deontay's been hurt. Leggett's been hurt. Adam Thielen should not be going undrafted in your leagues, and you should take him, especially if you're in a PPR league. But there you go.
That's a great take, and I agree with you. He's just being slept on entirely. Him and Mooney both.
Yeah, Mooney just. Well, yes, I agree with you. Yep.
Yeah, playing. I loved. I heard the take not too long ago. It was just like Mooney is going to play the Addison role. That was a great role in that offense. Like, why would you not just?
And have you liked Rondale before he went down. That just benefits. Yep. Mooney's going to probably take whatever he was going to do. Mooney actually was a good receiver. If the quarterback last year didn't agree with him, he's getting an actual quarterback this year. I will not talk ill about players on this podcast. Darnell Mooney, he's going to be on the money this year.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. All right, then we go to our North. I actually don't know. I don't know who you have winning this division. So I have Green Bay with 12 wins taking the division. And that's just because I, again, and we talked about this. I feel like I have went into a complete coma. And before the coma, everyone was like, Love is awful, or he's not quite there yet, and he could get there, but he's definitely not there yet. And I woke up out of the coma, and everyone was like, this is the best quarterback since ever. And I'm like, when did this happen?
It's the tryptophan in the turkey, Dan. You had too much turkey on Thanksgiving and fell into that little pesky American food coma, because after Thursday's game, on Thanksgiving, Jordan Love was a star because he went into Detroit and ruined Thanksgiving for the Detroitians.
Yep. I must have just completely blanked that out. but I was offseason looking at their team, both sides of the ball. I think that Green Bay defense is actually going to be much better than a lot of people expect. I think it's they've made a lot of additions that I really like. And then in combination of all of that, I do think Love in rewatching the tape, I think Love is actually a comparable quarterback. Their skill positions are really good. Jacobs being brought in is, I think he's underappreciated. We agree on that. And so I'm in for Green Bay taking that division.
I'm with you. I'm with Green Bay. Touch on things they brought in Jeff Hurley, BC's head coach. BC's playing in about 11 minutes. We're going to get to that.
oh, yeah. We got to get there.
I will be watching that football game. They bring in Javon Bullard, safety out of Georgia. Georgia's had a great defense that really shores up their back end secondary, which was a problem for them last year. Quay Walker's going to be taking that next step to actually being a defensive leader. And, yeah, you have the offensive line taking another step out of Adam Stenovich, who's just the best offensive line coach in football, who really just brings along players. They get, who the hell, Rashid Walker out of Arizona. Who's the Arizona first-round pick? Jordan Walker? I forget off the top of my head here. But he will be slipping in at right guard, which will be solidifying them with five starters across the board that are just all above league replacement, which they're just actually good players, if not borderline, going to be Pro Bowlers in there. I have them winning the division. I think this is the best division in football. Not to take anything away from Detroit. Detroit will also be in the playoffs, I have. And I also have Chicago in the playoffs. I have all three of those teams in the playoffs. They just play really good football. Not to take anything away from the Vikings, because the Vikings, out of all the teams that are going to be having a top 10 pick, which I feel the Vikings will, they have the most talent out of them. That's the one nice thing I will say. And they actually have a head coach that shouldn't get fired. He just has to wait a year for his quarterback to get healthy. But sorry, Minnesota, you don't get to play in the sandbox this year. These three teams, they will play in the sandbox, and they'll be playing in January. And one of them may be playing in February.
Ooh, I love that.
Right.
I love that. All right, we got to do our last division, the one that we skipped. So
yeah, you can touch that one down. I'm not touching it with a 12-foot pole.
Yeah, we have hot takes. So like I said or alluded to earlier, I have the Seahawks winning the division with 12 wins. I think McDonald coming in with that team, the dynamics that he brought with the defense on Baltimore, and I think the improvements around it are going to just, I think they're going to win games that they didn't win previously. And I really am buying into the Seahawks this year in like all capacities, which is objectively a hot take because the other three teams have the most hype around them within that division. And I think the Seahawks have been slept on in a lot of ways. But regardless, not having the 49ers winning the division is the craziest thing possible. And it's really hard to say. Same thing with having CMC is not your 101 as for fantasy is also crazy, even though if you think about it, no one has ever gone back-to-back. I think Alvin Kamara did it once with back-to-back first place finishes in fantasy football, just for the record. I think there's no other player that's done that.
I wouldn't know off the top of my head, but it's a daunting task, especially when you have that 101 pick, because you're like, you basically have to say, I am getting the best player in football, and if I don't, I'm not getting a return on this investment, which just, that's a great way to start the draft. It's not. Yeah, right. I don't know how to make this team. You look at the 49ers, everybody's favorite for this. I look at them and I see Trent Williams not getting paid, Brandon Ayuk. They just lost the Super Bowl. Dre Greenlaw got hurt in that Super Bowl. He's not going to be back. Brock Purdy is going to regress, people. I'm sorry. That touchdown rate is over 7%. Patrick Mahomes' touchdown rate is, I think, 5%. He's not better than Patrick Mahomes. Hot take city here. And my concerns about Christian McCaffrey, he has the calf injury. Last year, he ended the season. He got a calf injury, and then we were like, oh, no, is he going to be missing the playoffs? And he was able to return. The fact that it propped back up in the preseason gives me a little bit of concern that it's a recurring injury to a calf muscle. So that makes me nervous about the Niners. Then you go to the Rams. Everybody on the Rams have terrible injury history. They lost Aaron Donald. That can't be understated. They lost Aaron Donald, the best defensive player in the last 10 years. They're going to be worse than last year. Puka Nacua doesn't stay healthy. He stayed healthy last year. He doesn't stay healthy. I bet on him so many times at BYU. He hurt me. Cooper Kupp has had two seasons where he's been over 1,000 yards. The rest, he's been hurt. He's been in the league like 6 years, people. I don't know if you've realized that. I love Cooper Kupp, but he gets injured. And then Matt Stafford is 37 years old, is very tough. Derek Carr, tough, but 37's tough. It's tough because that offensive line is an elite, and he's going to be taking at least one or two hits, especially when he's going up against a Seattle defense, a Jonathan Gannon defense that gets a little aggressive at times, and a 49ers defense that is going to be somewhat good, if not as good as they were last year. Those are three fierce teams to be facing. I don't know what to make of the Rams. I don't think they're going to be as good as last year, which means they're a fringe team. They're going to be a 500 team. Then you get to the Seahawks. Mike McDonald has never coached at the head coaching level. A little nervous. Geno Smith isn't good at quarterback, but I will not be making fun of players here. So I'll move on quickly to the offensive line, who also is not the best in this division, I will put kindly. They have great weapons all around. If they could find a quarterback and an offensive line, I'd be feeling a lot better about them, which brings us to the Cardinals, whose defense needs to take that step to just be competitive because they have that offensive side of the ball with Kyler Marvin, who could establish himself as a top 10 receiver. Their running backs were just dynamite last year under Drew Petzing's. I don't know what the hell he was doing with the offensive line scheme. It might be something I have to dive into, but every one of their running backs was like close to 5 yards per carry, which I haven't seen in all my years. It's very impressive what they did. So I have to go and look. And the best quarterback in this division, in my humble opinion, is Kyler Murray, who hasn't had his career year yet, and he has his best weapon now. The Cardinals are at plus 1,600 to win this division. I'm taking the Cardinals to win the division. All that said,
love it. I love that top down. That's great.
Yeah.
So we differ on that, but I like your opinion a ton. All right.
It's the one division where it's, I don't know what the hell's going on. I'll just break this down the best I can and go with the pick that nobody is going to take.
I love that. Do the contrarian pick, because the fascinating thing is a lot of people are wrong. If we could get this right, we would be rolling in it and we'd be the mecca, but we're not fortune tellers. We just have objectively good takes. For the wildcard slots on this one, I have the 49ers, the Cowboys, and the Lions respectively. I don't have anyone else coming out of the South there. I know that you have, I think you just have the Falcons coming out, right? You don't have anyone else.
Yep, just the Falcons. Everybody else is mediocre at best. They're all like around 500 in my estimation.
So what are your wildcard picks?
We differ on, I have Chicago in my playoffs. You don't have Chicago. Yeah, I have Chicago. I have Detroit. And then that last spot, it's San Fran and it's Dallas for me. Just because when you look at it at this time of the year on paper, both those teams are just, they have too much talent. But like I was saying before, everything that's going on with the Niners makes me lean towards Dallas. Especially with CD now signed, brings a little bit of stability to us. So I'm going to go with Dallas. I'm going to have San Fran missing the playoffs. I'm going with Dallas, Detroit, and Chicago.
Love it. Okay. All right, so then with
Dan,
all that...
I have one question here for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Your Super Bowl prediction.
Yeah.
Now we're here. Get to talk spicy talk now.
Oh, this is so challenging. I laid a bet already and I don't.
Oh, I'm you not did?
Yeah, I laid one a while ago and now before I did my whole dive and now I don't think I have the right one, but that's fine. So I think we're, this is going to be so hard. I think KC and Bengals are going to meet in the division and and like betting against Patrick Mahomes seems like a complete asinine thing, but I think the Bengals are going to win the division. I know. Isn't that crazy? So I have the Bengals taking it there. And then for the NFC, I think what you were saying earlier before we started recording, that this first Friday is the divisional like championship game. Like this could be a preview of it. Yeah, the conference, excuse me. The fact that we have Eagles versus Green Bay, and I think that's, I don't know which one. I think it's one of those two. I don't know which one. For the sake of making a call, I'll say Green Bay. I'll say it's Green Bay Bengals Super Bowl.
Ooh, I'm not too far off from you.
Okay.
You know my pick. I think you remember my pick. So your MVP usually doesn't get to the Super Bowl, or if they do get to the Super Bowl, they usually lose it in horrific fashion, as we said before. It is the Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow winning the MVP, which means by my math, and I didn't take that high of a math course, so this is simple algebra for everybody, means he's not going to the Super Bowl, which means it's going to be the Texans in Green Bay in the Super Bowl, but I will not pronounce the winner yet. Once we get there and I am proven right, I will make a decision then. But until February, it is going to be Green Bay in Houston with those quarterbacks that just keep on getting better as games getting played, have improved defenses, are just really looking good on the offensive line. They bring in running backs, both of them. I have a comparison to make with Houston, and this is for our Dragon Ball fans out there. Once upon a time, there was a man called Majin Buu. And Majin Buu would do this thing where he absorbed people and their talents. So Houston in the offseason, what do? They see all this talent around them. How can I get over the edge? Okay, I'm going to absorb Stephon Diggs. I'm going to take the best receiver off of the Buffalo Bills. And you know what? I'm going to take Cincinnati's best running back. I'm going to absorb him into myself. And what does that leave you? That leaves you Super Buu. Does Super Buu win in the end? No, he doesn't. But that's because he had to lose. But at the end, Kid Buu did destroy Earth. And the Texans will get to the Super Bowl. But when it's all said and done, I am probably going to lean towards Green Bay lifting the Lombardi trophy. But that, I'm not making a decision yet. That's just what I'm leaning towards. But that's where I am.
Oh, man. I love it. You know what? We're just going to end it there because that was perfect. Hey, everyone. I'm Dan. That was Hippo. And this is Objectively Good Takes. And we'll talk to you next time.
Peace out.
Thank you.